वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam 10th Canto, Chapter 85, Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva. Text number 5.
Etannana vitam vishvam.
Etannana yam vishvam.
Etannana vitam vishvam.
Etannana
Atma Shristam Madhokshaja
Atma Shristam Madhokshaja
Atma Shristam Madhokshaja
Atma Shristam Madhokshaja
Atmanaru Pravishyatman
Atmanaru Pravishyatman
Atmanaru Pravishyatman Pranujivo Vibhashaja
Pranujivo Vibhashaja
Prano jivo vibhashaja Etannana vidam vishvam Atma shristam madhokshaja Atmananu pravishyatman Prano jivo vibhashaja
Missing an M after the T.
Okay.
Shatman.
Atmananu pravish yatman.
Atmananu pravish yatman.
Kamri rod vashaja.
Kamri rod vashaja. Itannana viram vishvam.
Itannana viram vishvam.
Atma shristam madhokshaja.
Atma shristam madhokshaja.
Atmananu pravishyatmam.
Atmananu pravishyatmam.
Kano jivo vibhashaja.
Kano jivo vibhashaja.
How's the gist? Etat, this, nanavidam, variegated.
Vishvam,
universe.
Atma,
from yourself.
Shrisham,
created.
Adoshaja,
O transcendental Lord.
Atmana,
in your manifestation.
As the Paramatma.
Anupravesha,
entering within.
Atman,
O
Supreme
Soul.
Prana,
the principle of vitality.
Jiva,
and the principle of consciousness.
Bibashi,
you maintain.
Raja,
O
Unknown One. Translation. O Transcendental Lord, from yourself you created this entire variegated universe, and then you entered within it in your personal form as a super soul. In this way, O unborn supreme soul, as life force and consciousness of everyone, you maintain the creation. Purport. When creating the material universe, the Lord expands himself as the Paramatma or super soul, and accepts the creation as his universal body. No material body has any reason for existing without some jiva soul desiring for his enjoyment. And no jiva can independently independently maintain a body without the Paramatma accompanying him there for guidance. The Vaishnavacharyas, in their commentaries on the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, explain that even before Brahma is born from the lotus navel of Garbhodasha Vishnu, he first accepts the whole material energy, the Mahatattva, as his body. Thus, Brahma is a jiva embodied by the universe, and Vishnu is a Paramatma who joins him. Brahma might organize the specific manifestations of creation, but he cannot begin to do so until Lord Vishnu expands himself again into the subtle energy of action, which is the Sutra Tattva, or original whiter air, and also into the creative energy of consciousness, Buddhi Tattva. Etanana vidam vishvam, atma shristam adoshaja, atmananu pravishyatman, prano jivo vivasaja. Translation again. O transcendental Lord, from yourself you created this entire variegated universe, and then you enter within it in your personal form as a super soul. In this way, O unborn supreme soul, as the life force and consciousness of everyone, you maintain the creation. Om Agyana Timrandasya Akinam Janas Lakaya Chakshumri Kamyana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadpare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Charine Nivishesa Sanyo Deva Sichade Shatarine. Here, in one line, purport. It's interesting way, the way the commentator put it. So no material body has any reason for existing without some jiva soul desiring it for its enjoyment. So basically, this whole material universe is created because of the perverted desire of the jiva to want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So this desire actually is very, very powerful. That's why the desire of the living entities, this material universe, is created for its enjoyment with all of its variegatedness. There is a body for everyone. We may go to the department store, even if you go to Myers, look for the clothing. There may be so many varieties of clothing, but that is nothing compared to the clothing, the body that the material energy is providing for to facilitate the desire of the living entity. Every soul who has accepted the material body, or that material body is perfectly arranged to suit the desire or the karma of that jiva. And this, in that sense, that's actually the mercy of the Supreme Person of Godhead, to allow the jiva to exercise their independence. Krishna is Swara, is independent. And the jiva, because they have the same quality as Krishna, they also Swara, they also have independence, although in very minute form. You have finite, Krishna finite, you have the infinitesimal. Very, very small. That's why sometimes they try to claim that they are so powerful, they're so strong, they're so great. And we may acknowledge that, yes, you are so great, you are so powerful, but infinitesimal. It's like the soul is 1/10,000th of a hair. So you are 1/10,000th of a hair great, or powerful, in comparison to the power of Krishna. So there's a reason for the creation, which is creating a playground for the jiva to want to enjoy separate from Krishna. Sometimes people can complain, why can't we have heaven on earth? Everyone is just trying to create this material world or find some sort of a paradise on this earth planet or in this material world. They look for the
utopia.
Huh?
Utopia.
The utopia that they have a place somewhere in Malaya or whatever. What do you call that?
Shangri-La.
Yeah. They created the mystical place. I remember this long time ago I watched one movie. There was this some people in the Himalaya, they're somewhere into some cave or they fall into some cave or something. And then somewhere into this place, it was like paradise. It was very beautiful inside there, fountains and people walking gardens. It's like the description of the heavenly planet given in the Bhagavatam. Very beautiful, birds chirping, and people all were nicely dressed. Everyone was very beautiful, young. There was no old people there. So this guy came there, and somehow he fell in love. We wanted to go and try to take this girl out from the place, and everyone advised him, no, don't do that. As soon as she came out of the cave, she grew very old and died. So actually, there's already a place which is like what people perceive of Shangri-La in the spiritual world. Everything is perfect. Everything that people hanker for, aspire for, is already existing in the spiritual world. But the problem is they're trying to create it in the material sphere. In the Ishapanishad, there's one in the one purpose Prabhupada is saying, and that was, I read that long time ago, in fact, in 1977 when I read that, it really like hit me like a rocket, that line. Prabhupada said, yes, enjoyment is there, but the problem is everyone is trying to find enjoyment on the wrong platform. When I read that line, it just hit me like boom. You know, like someone gave you a big boom. Wow, such a powerful statement. You're just trying to find enjoyment in the wrong platform, in the wrong place. Because the building block of this material world is, as Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, is temporality, asasvatam, dukkalayam asasvatam. Is asat, is temporary, and dukkha. This interesting word of Sanskrit, dukkha sukha. Sukha means happiness, dukkha means sadness, miseries. So the building block of this material is dukkalayam sasvatam. It's temporary and miserable. So when the building block is made out of these two, then how can one find eternality or find happiness within it? How possible? Because the nature of this material world is to, although it facilitates the desire of the living entity, but it's meant to actually teach them a lesson. It's the opposite of the spiritual. In the spiritual, means everything is such an ananda, and the material is a reflection of that. So everything is temporary, full of ignorance, full of miseries. And there's so much miseries in this material world. All people do is just trying to relieve, temporarily find relief from the suffering of the material energy. Whether it's in the form of the threefold miseries, miseries coming from the body and the mind, miseries coming from the other living entities, miseries coming from the nature, so nature on the demigods in the form of heat. Just about 1 week or so ago, it was very nice warm weather. Suddenly now it's cold. Everyone is all wrapped up. Constantly it's there. And constantly there's problem. But people, because they do not understand what is the real force behind the creation, real force behind the nature, they're fumbling in the dark trying to find a solution. Anytime there's a problem, they try to find some temporary solution. Like yesterday, last night, we are leaving from Gopal. As I sat on the door, I couldn't believe it. It was just lines and lines of taxis. Double parking on Swanson Street. Some of the taxis were parked right on Collins Street on the tram stop, blocking on the trams. no traffic, they block up the small roads. And I was thinking, how am I going to get out of the car park? And I drove the car up to the entrance, and then all the cars were blocked up. So I said, it's no use. Just got out of the car with Daniel and Adam, just lock up the car, went out to see what's going on. All these taxi drivers are standing there. They were even blocking up the curbs so that you cannot drive off the road on the curb to get down Flinders Lane. So I said, what's going on? And they said, wow, you know, one of our colleagues was stabbed in critical condition and be demanding action from the police. I said, how long are you going to be here? They said, we don't know, maybe all night. We're not going to move until they solve the case. And they think this will solve our problems by putting demands and putting demands on the government to have more protection and all this. And they think that all these protesting will give they're trying to find solution to all these protests. But it doesn't matter what kind of solution it comes up with, there will always be another problem. There will always be another problem. And material life means just solving one problem after another. Endless. It's just endless. And that's because that's the nature of this material world. It is not a place for enjoyment. There is a place for enjoyment, but it's not on the material plane. It's on the spiritual plane. You have to find the right platform. So, and that begins by understanding, by developing real knowledge, by understanding what is actually the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Prabhupada explained the purport that real knowledge means to understand the difference between matter and spirit and the controller of both. What is the difference between matter and spirit to differentiate it? But just understanding that is not enough, but also to understand who is the controller of both. So Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, I am the source of both the material world and the spiritual world. Everything comes from me. And here is explaining more detail how that is taking place, how Krishna creating all the universes. His expansion from Mahavishnu, from the pore of his skin, is coming universes. Innumerable universes, as is stated here in the verse, variegated universe. There's so many varieties of universes, and within the universe, you lie down, fill up half the ocean, lie down at Gavardasha Vishnu, and from there, so many different variegated planets, for different variegated living entities who have all their variegated desires and karma to fulfill. Some like to fly. Maybe in Siddha Loka, they can fly around without airplanes. So, but Krishna, he also entered into that universe as Paramatma, Super Soul. So in this way, he's accompanying the Jiva on his journey in this material world. And by residing within the heart of every living entity, he gives them knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. From Super Soul, we get remembrance of our design, what we wanted to do, and forgetfulness of past life, which is quite a blessing actually to forget our past life. Some people that remember their past life become pretty schizophrenic. You don't know who you really are. Are you living this lifetime or in previous life? And also the knowledge. Like last Saturday after the class, someone asked, so I got a question. I said, why didn't you ask the question in the class? He said, I'm too shy. Because if it's like a stupid question, then everyone may laugh. So he asked the question, because we were saying how when you give the wood to the carpenter to build his furniture, the carpenter cannot at the end of the day like claim that this is my furniture, I built it, I created it. So he was saying that, yeah, but I'm using my hand, my own ability, I'm creating something on my own. I said, yes, you can acknowledge that you did it. But still, at the end, you still have to acknowledge where all these ingredients come from and who gave you the intelligence to build, to create that furniture or create anything for that matter. Where does the intelligence come from? Where does the ability come from? Where is even the energy, the strength to do all these things? Krishna said, Bhagavad Gita, I am the ability in man. I'm the strength of the strong. Is there anything great you see in this world? It's nothing but a spark of my splendor. He just gives some indication, Bhagavad Gita, anything you see great, like you say, out of all immovable things, I'm the Himalayas. So just give us some idea to see anything great here. It's just nothing but a spark of Krishna's splendor. How he's actually the cause of everything, the creator of everything, and by the existence that everything is going. You know, where they say that our fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind is blowing, sun is rising, the moon is rising, everything is just going on by the energy of Krishna. And it doesn't matter how great one a person is, how much knowledge he has, even the sun has this basic knowledge. Is known to be ignorant. Ignorant. His knowledge is very incomplete. So therefore it is essential to understand the working of the material world or working of the body. What is actually that makes the body tick? It is because of the jiva. If the jiva actually give up the desire to enjoy this material world, then this material does not have to be there anymore. It doesn't fulfill its function anymore. The material is there only because the jiva is enjoying this material. Therefore the material energy is craving all this illusory enjoyment. We want to forget Krishna, material energy will provide us all the facilities we need to forget Krishna. If you want to remember Krishna, and the spiritual energy provide. Because the jiva is tatasha shakti. It's marginal energy. So the marginal energy is here, so either be influenced by the material energy or it's influenced by the spiritual energy. There's no two way about it. When we're influenced by the material energy, then we experience the three modes of material nature, three four miseries, repeated birth, death, old age, disease. Everything. But when we come under the shelter of the spiritual energy, then we experience eternality, knowledge and bliss. And the vital force of the universe, or vital force of life is Krishna. It's stated here. Prana jiva vibhasaja. The principle of prana, principle of vitality, the principle and jiva, the principle of consciousness. That's how Krishna is maintaining the universe and maintaining the living entity. It's the vital force, the vital consciousness, sutra tattva or buddhi tattva. And that is the energy that makes everything run. Just like the material, the jiva, because of the jiva's presence in the soul, the body is functioning. As soon as the soul leaves the body, the body just disintegrates. The form just disintegrates. It is also because of the presence of the soul that the body takes form, as a form. You see what happens as soon as the soul leaves the body, everything just, and then it just practically merge back into the earth, merge back into the elements. So understanding that Krishna is actually the prana of the universe, prana of life, or life force behind everything, then one should put that as more important and put some focus there. Because it's because of the prana that there's life, wouldn't you want to put some energy there and focus to understand what is that prana? Who is this Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is my relationship? How can I maintain, keep him in the center of my life? And that's what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness means to be always conscious of Krishna. conscious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, conscious of Krishna as the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Enjoyer, as the cause of all causes, and how we are interrelated to Him. I was talking with Dr. Adam yesterday on the way into CrossFit. How he was mentioning about some devotee around some years, and then they want to find, maybe there's more to life than Krishna consciousness. Maybe there's something more out there that we have not investigated. So he said, how can that be, you know? I say it can happen if one is not careful. If one lose the plot along the way, because there's so many distractions in this material world. And if one is not careful, one can easily lose the plot. And after some years in Krishna consciousness, you look back, you find there are just a few fundamental points in Krishna consciousness that you never deviate from. And as you go along with it, there may be so many varieties, there's so many different kind of services, we may be doing so many different things, we find ourselves in so many different situations, but the fundamentals of Krishna consciousness remain the same. A few fundamental, and that those fundamental points are that we are spirit soul. We eternally serve Krishna, that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. We have no existence separate from Krishna. There's nothing that can be separate from Krishna. It's only out of illusion we think we can be separate from Krishna. But actually we have no existence that's separate from Krishna. So, when one keeps that in mind, then he has the right perspective. Doesn't matter what situation he finds himself, he can maintain that right perspective and everything that comes from that. Actually everything springs from that. Everything springs from that understanding. I am an eternal son of Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example, he said, it depends on how we identify with ourselves. So for example, if one identify oneself as the artist, what does he surround himself with? He try to get a loft, space, a cheap. He has a canvas, a board with canvas, he has paints, he has brushes. He surrounds himself with the equipment necessary for painting, and usually they hang around in the same circle of artistic people. They go to galleries and to get inspiration. So you see different professions, different fields. When identified with that, they surround themselves with all the facilities or equipment necessary to perform that function. So when we identify ourselves with as devotees, what do we surround ourselves? What do we need as devotees? Of course, the most important need is this. It's the most important possession of the devotee. The japa, the Hare Krishna mantra. And if we surround ourselves with devotees, we worship the deities, surround ourselves with scriptures, studying on the scriptures, with service. So surrounding ourselves with all the ingredients that enhances our, what should I say, professional identity, that helps us to assume the identity more and more. So actually Krishna consciousness is something, is a very active principle, is something we actively pursue, we actively engage. It's not just a mental, how should I put it? Some mental jugglery. It's not something like, you know, something. Sometimes people think, very often people are mistaken. Spiritual life is something for when you have nothing else to do, when you're retired. Then you take up spiritual life. While you're young, there's so many important things to do. So when you're old, then you're taking care of all your responsibility, then you think of spiritual life. Because you have nothing better to do. Or some people think spiritual life is just sitting around and just discussing philosophy. I remember there was one devotee, we joined around the same time, just a few months after me. He told me his pastime, his leela, or hobby, was to sit around in cafes discussing philosophy with people. And he'll feel very good if he's able to defeat them. And then he thinks this is spiritual life. Just discussing spiritual matter and philosophy and just very external. But Krishna consciousness go deeper than that. That we have to come to a point where we really actually identify ourselves and not create, because that's just our real identity, but really come to terms with that real identity, our real identity as eternal servant of Krishna. And that is the time when you come to real steadiness in Krishna consciousness, and you're actually properly able to identify, become quite unshakable. We go through our ups and downs in Krishna consciousness just because of the fact you are here in the material world, the influence of the material energy is very strong. But when the strong identification is there, even though one may be faced with difficulties, you just think, you struck it off. Yeah, so what? Difficulty will come, difficulty will go. This is what I am, and this is what I do. The idea of giving it up does not even come to the mind. This is what I do. It's just like you find in the material, some people have a strong sense of duty or responsibility. Or for example, a mother. A new parents, none of them are here, but recently in our congregation we have some new parents. They know, especially when the young baby, they come, they haven't fallen to rhythm, they wake up all night. And all night the mother or father have taken calming down the baby, changing diapers, feeding the baby. And it's tough. You know, all night you don't get any proper sleep for months. But they don't think much about it. They don't think much about the austerity. They don't think much about pain. They just do because this is what they are. Yeah, they identify, this is my baby. I'm the father, I'm the mother. I take care of my baby. I don't worry. I remember even in my case, when my son was about 1-2 years old, he developed eczema. And every night he'll wake up 3-4 times. Because itching. It was so itchy, it was just itching and scratching and sometimes bloody. And often I just have to wake up because my wife would be just, when he's tired, she just stay. So usually I'm the one who gets up. I'll get up and try to calm him down. Usually sometimes after 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he calms down and go back to sleep. But sometimes I have to carry him out and walk up and down in the room. Sometimes for an hour before he comes down and goes back to sleep. I'm so tired, you know. Wake up at 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And very often just walking, bang against the wall, turn around, bang against the other wall, and turn around. And rocking and calming down. And but you don't think, too much, I give up. You don't even think about that. Alright, it's tough, you know, tough life, tough being, this is what you want. Grihastha life, you want children, part and parcel of it. So you identify as a father, it's my responsibility. My babies, it's my responsibility, I have to take care. So you don't think too much about the difficulty, the problem, it's part and parcel of it. So when there is this strong identification, then I'm a devotee. Krishna, I'm his servant. We just do what we need to do without worrying. Problem will come, problem will go. Sometimes there will be some up, sometimes there will be down. Until I'm able to rise above most of my imagination, there will be some ups, there will be some downs. Ups or downs, despite it all, this is what I do, this is what I am. And that comes from the deep understanding of who Krishna is. That he's our life force. He's the life. He's our life. Wasn't Prabhupada give the example that for a devotee, just like we cannot live without breathing. For a devotee, he cannot survive, he cannot live without thinking of Krishna or doing some service of Krishna or remembering Krishna. This is his life. So in very fast. Professor has something to add? Another comments or question? You wrote a lot of notes, but you're right. Oh, Mama probably sent you a comment. Yes?
How can we help those who think that more than Krishna consciousness?
How?
How can we help those who think that more than Krishna consciousness more than conscious of themselves?
Help those who are more?
Who think that more than Krishna consciousness.
There's more to Krishna consciousness.
People think there's more than Krishna consciousness.
Oh, there's more to life than Krishna consciousness. That's what everyone else is thinking. That's what everyone thinks. That's the illusion of this material world. That there's something more. Glittering light of Maya. But the problem is that even in the course of our preaching, we have to also accept the fact we are not God. That, you know, we can preach, we can inspire, we can guide, but we cannot force anyone. Ultimately, it's after them. Some people they learn by hearing. Some they learn by experiencing. And many they don't learn at all. Despite repeated attempts, they don't learn. All they say is just bad luck. I haven't tried hard enough. Let me try a little harder. Not realizing we have tried so hard in so many lifetimes. In so many different ways, in so many different forms of life, trying to find enjoyment in this material world and failing each time. But that's why it's called the dog stubborn. You ever seen an owner sometimes, the dog is, they're going for a walk, and the dog refuses to go, and they pull, and the back of the neck is cooling off the neck, and it's it's called dog stubborn. So either the most important is that we learn. Whether we learn it by hearing, or we learn it through the schools of hard knocks. It's not pleasant to learn through the schools of hard knocks. But if that's the way we learn, well, at least we learn. If that's what we need to learn, that's also okay. But the easier way is just learn by hearing. But that requires a lot of intelligence. Only the very intelligent they learn by hearing. Not so intelligent, they have to learn by hearing. Just like the other day, my son. Like we always use this example, right? Father tells the son, don't put the hand in fire. What is that? I'm curious. I put the hand in fire and get burned. Oh, okay. Fire burns. Now I understand. Right? But some foolish thing, oh, I didn't put it in the right way. That's why I got burned. So the other day, my son was cooking something for himself. And then, you don't know why, he just put his hand over the fire. Woo! Like, oh, now I understand. What do you mean? Fire burn. Does that answer the question? That's why it's important as a community. We create an environment in such a way that it's a very inspiring environment, a very nurturing environment, caring environment, that devotees are they feel so fulfilled in that environment. They feel so enriched that they do not stick their head out and thinking there's anything else. So different devotees define fulfillment in different ways. The experience that I have personally for myself anyway is when I take part in a really exciting kirtan, and then you preaching to someone who is very receptive, and you're really able to explore the Krishna consciousness knowledge. And after that, I always walk away like completely filled up. And I thought, wow. I mean, what else? What more do you want in life? What more can you ask for in life? This is so fulfilling. So it may be different. So you have to find that. But the environment doesn't certainly help. When you have a very nurturing environment, very inspiring environment. And especially Prabhupada state, prasadam must be very good. Say prasadam is very good, nobody believes. Devotees are staying. And we are seeing devotees who wanted to leave, but they all thought, oh, let me at least stay for the Sunday feast. I'll leave after the Sunday feast. You have seen that? Yeah, you have seen that in Europe. Then they stay for the Sunday feast, and then they eat so much they just get knocked out. They couldn't stay, and by the time they really actually wake up from the Sunday feast, it's already midweek. And then the resolve to leave is also weakened by the fact that it's just a few more days to the next Sunday feast. I mean, in those days, years back, is the, you remember that? Not only the Sunday feast is like knockout. It's knockout Sunday feast. Now it's a bit more difficult because it's such a huge crowd. You have two trees, four subjis, and then savories, and then you have three, four, five sweets, lasty drink, and it's a real knockout. I used to suffer from those Sunday feasts. It took me until midweek before I recovered from Sankirtan. You know, come back on the weekend for Sunday feast, and then like Monday, Tuesday, like wow, trying to work it out. And then only by Wednesday you start able to function on the street. Now of course after 1 or 2 years then you realize, you know, all this stuffing yourself is not really helping yourself, is start to cut down. So we do what we need. We do what we have to do to keep ourselves always, you know, enlivened. Keep ourselves always very clear in our consciousness, what the goal of life is, who we really are. It's always good to take some time off to just, even for a few moments, to remember, to appreciate. Appreciate what you're doing. If you don't appreciate what you do, we may lose it. Because otherwise, during the course of a day, doing so many activities, running and doing here, and especially you're working very hard, and then after a while, you're going, what am I doing? I'm working so hard here. These authorities, they're just exploiting me. They're giving me so much service. They're giving me too much mercy. They're just exploiting me. I'm doing too much service. And I'm not getting anything out of it. If I work so hard out there, I may be getting $1,000 a week. But here I'm getting nothing. So it's very easy, you just lose the perspective. You know, and then you start getting on the mental platform, and you start spacing out, and then our mind starts meditating on the options. Different options. There's life beyond Krishna consciousness. There's none. So it's very important we very carefully protect our tender critical devotional service by regular watering, ear chanting, pulling out the weeds as soon as we speak, pulling out the weeds, and saying association of devotees. Always staying in the association of devotees. They'll keep us strong, keep us on the right path. Yes?
I was just wondering, why,
You become and then
it's very hard to actually fully take the devotional process. And Srila Prabhupada says that we need to shed gallons of blood just to make one devotee. And so what, do you know, can you explain what Prabhupada is meant by that?
Well, very often you see people come to Krishna consciousness and they're really excited about it, they're really attracted, and then come to a point that they have to surrender. And that's the test, surrender. Whether they're able to cross the threshold. So what we find sometimes people that they start getting cold feet. So surrender. It's not just all nice and everything, I have to surrender. And they start thinking, I have to give up so many things. And they're not able to do that. So they quickly withdraw. Say, if I continue, I have to surrender. So I want, if they want to maintain a mature life, they quickly withdraw and sink back into the hole. It's like someone is sleeping in the hole, they come out with too much sunlight, go back into the hole. So actually, you'll find that is just the first hurdle you cross over. But in our devotional life, you'll find there is so many tests. There's so many tests along the way, testing our resolve. And when we cross over it, we become stronger. And each time we cross over it, we become stronger. And there will be all, there will be at least one big test. When there was 2 years ago in Auckland, the first time I met Devananda Maharaj again after hamstringing for like 19 years. We had a long chat, long just reminiscing the past and talking about so many different things. And he was also telling me what he went through after he left Europe and he went to America and all that. So then he told me, he said, Prabhupada said there'd be a big test before you go back on that. You got it? So the big test can come in so many different ways. We see some of our senior devotees go through big tests, get cancer, they went through some sickness. But that's not the only. Our faith will be tested, our resolve, determination will be tested very, very severely. But then again, Krishna will not give you a task bigger than you can fulfill. And that's the faith we should have. No task is too difficult. If you want Krishna enough, there's no difficulty or no problem too tough that you can overcome. Because after all, whatever difficulty you face in material suffering and materiality, and with Krishna you can cross over anything. What's the word? Sagunan Samati Yaitan Brahma Buddha Kalpate? What's the first 2 lines? Dai Hesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratya. No, that's enough. Mama Eva Ye Prabhajante, Maya Pritam Prati. Dai Hesha Gunamai. Krishna says, this is my energy. Because my energy is very, very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me can cross over it very easily. So you should understand that ultimately everyone make their own decision, make their own choice in life. We can lead them. We can give them the best possible way and create the best environment for them to take up Krishna consciousness, surrender Krishna. Ultimately it's up to each individual to make that choice. We cannot force it. Even Krishna does not force us. Whether it's the people we're preaching to who have not taken up Krishna consciousness, or even amongst devotees, you'll see, you observe in yourself, you also observe in different devotees how they're going through different tests all the time. All the time, they're tests, small tests, but then sometimes it's just bumps, a big one, come along, and then bumps, a big one. If you can ask any devotees who've been around for some time, they'll tell you they'll show you the better stars. Not stars, the different patterns that form, isn't it? Yes.
As you say, very well, strong faith is very important. If you have got strong faith in Lord Krishna, and then if you get a good decision of the devotees, then it becomes much further and more. And of course, prasadam is the main key, what Prabhupada says. So I'll tell you my example. I was in Germany in '90s, and devotees were so loving, so attractive. They would call me, they would say, what time you are coming, you leave prasadam for me. And you should be like feast or Sunday, everybody was very big persons. So the association, you know, and the attraction, devotees, the atmosphere of the temple also can play a lot of importance. The devotees love for you,
yeah.
And so you are so much attractive that you will never go anywhere else. So all my weekends, while I was in Germany, I was in Heidelberg Temple. 3 days easily passed and 4 days in Bharat. So the atmosphere became so, so nice. You know? So the attraction, devotees also attract you.
Yeah.
And Krishna, of course, if you have a strong faith, then faith becomes more and more, so that you can never leave the association of devotees and you can never leave the temple.
Now there's then the question, how does one get strong faith? That's given by Rupa Goswami, a Tao Shraddha, Tao Shraddha, Sandra, Bhaja, and Kriya. One process of devotional service, under direction of the spiritual master, and the association of devotees, getting purified from the anatta. That's how anatta becomes purified, the faith becomes stronger, comes to the point of nishtha, firm faith. And that's what we want to develop, firm faith. And this is what Guru Maharaj prayed. The first time we went searching for the Supreme Lord, he has a desire to have a kingdom bigger than his father. But when Vishnu appeared before him, then he realizes what I'm asking for. He's looking for broken glasses. So the second time he was given benediction, when his brother Uttama, or his brother was killed by the Yakshas. So he went, they took revenge and started killing the Yakshas left and right. And Brahma came, stopped him. And then the Kuvera, the Lord of Yakshas, came on to give him benediction. And this time he was careful, Brahma. He said, what do you ask? He said, just bless me. I mean, develop firm faith and devotion in the Supreme Personality. That's what he asked for. Firm faith and devotion. And that's what we want to develop.
Thank you very much, Shri Prabhupada.